97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
It is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk on this hump day. And as I was mentioning when the show started, it has been a busy day for yours truly. Starting at a time that used to be when I got out of work, 9 a.m., that's when my day started today, and got my way through the Buffalo Bills football experience. And I'm happy to say that for the next 30 years, I am locked in as a Buffalo Bills season ticket holder. So the tradition continues, and I'll be 66 when the PSL is up on my new seats.
Hold on. You've got to explain this.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
30 years?
So that's a hell of a commitment.
Your PSL? Well, no. That's for the PSL. That's for the personal seat license. If you miss a year paying the season tickets, they take it away from you. But I am guaranteed that seat with no extra personal seat costs. I'll have to pay the season ticket rate. But I am guaranteed that seat for 30 years. Now, in 30 years, they can come after me for more money. But I just put down a payment to guarantee that I'll have access to purchase tickets in that seat for 30 years.
That's crazy.
Wow, that's love.
Yeah. So if I do serve the 30 years, that means at 66 years old, I will have been a season ticket holder for 48 years. But again, lots can happen in 30 years. But they, they had this thing set up beautifully. You walk through, you point to the seat you want. They have cup holders. They have a hype video. So I was all hyped for the season. And I'm psyched. Like I know this is bad at 36. I need to mature, but I have FOMO. I have fear of missing out. If I'm not at a game, I go nuts. And so now I can lock it in, and hopefully my son can grow up going to games at that stadium. And very excited for that.
I was just going to say, I heard something pretty cool about the new stadium, and I guess that on the field, because of the way they built the stadium, it's wind is not going to be an issue when there's really bad weather. Have you heard about this?
It's wind confusion, and they showed us the panels at the football experience today. And so it's the way the wind hits those that it misdirects it the other way. So on the field, you feel nothing, which, by the way, is a 180 of what you do now, because in Buffalo, if there's just a little bit of wind, it is impossible to kick a field goal. So this is a complete 180 to what we've been used to across the street. But yeah, those panels are cool. And they were telling us, it's going to be Bill's colors or whatever. And yeah, they showed us an example of the panel that you could touch and everything. It's just it's the way these holes are positioned in the panel to redirect the wind.
That's pretty genius. It's
fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm in the cheap seats, obviously. I mean, let's be honest. I work in radio. I'm in the cheap seats. I'm in the end zone above one of the Jumbotrons. There'll be a Jumbotron in each end zone. But in the cheap seats, you're actually covered. In the expensive seats, you're not.
So, Sue, I know you were diligently working on your traffic. So
yes.
I don't know that you caught this. Today, Joe signed a 30-year PSL.
Oh, my gosh, Joe.
Yeah. So 30 years committed to the Buffalo Bills.
Okay, I'll process. Keep talking.
I told Odyssey, hey, do you want me to sign 30 years? And they said, nah, we don't do that. But,
oh, my gosh.
But, I'm really excited. And the hype video they showed us, I can't wait. I'm excited for the last season in this stadium, but can't wait for that. And the fact that I'll be covered. So, yes, it'll still be cold, but I can watch the players play in the snow while I am in my cheap seats under the covering. It's quite exciting.
That's awesome. It's so backwards, but okay.
I have a question for you as a fan.
Yeah.
Have you ever jumped onto a foldable table?
So I have not jumped onto a foldable table. I'm sorry. I've always set a standard. And if the Bills win the AFC championship, since it hopefully will be in Buffalo, I will jump through a table. But to this point, and I hate to disappoint, I've watched many people do it. I watched one person jump through a table while there was a Christmas tree on fire.
Wow.
And this was when the Bills were awful. I mean, I'm talking about back when I was in college. But I have not personally jumped through a table, but will if the AFC championship comes to Buffalo.
Do you know, I guess, that's one of the many traditions that the Bills Mafia fans do
up
in the Northeast.
I did enjoy seeing them jump off of the giant snow drifts in the hole when the stadium was being built.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
As well. Yeah, it's all entertaining.
Sacrificing people into what they were calling the pit in every game.
That's correct.
I'd be sitting there and there'd be a sheriff's helicopter dipping in to the pit.
Yep.
So we had that today and opening the fair here. And so I only got one fair food today because tomorrow's the judging. And I had a corn dog. And can I just tell you, corn dogs are pretty freaking good.
You guys can have them all. Fred, corn dog.
Oh, yeah. I love
corn
dogs.
The boys love them. Ethan, yeah.
Yeah, they'll play. They'll play.
Yeah. I don't love cornbread. It's a weird thing.
So I was running late, and nothing was set up for me to host the show. I feel like I can say this here. Hopefully my boss isn't listening. So the table wasn't set up for me to do the show, so I had to go to the closest stand, and the closest stand was corn dog. So it won by default.
That's fair.
But it was pretty good.
All right.
It was pretty good.
All right.
And that is the busy day. And can I tell you, there is no better conclusion than spending it with you fine folks. I just want to say, this is the best cap to a very busy day. And when we come back, it'll be Sue's News on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back. Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on this hump day. And as we do this time every day, it's time for Sue's News.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No, 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 no.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, it's a good day because it is National Root Beer Float Day.
Ooh,
oh, I love
hitting
that bell.
Float. Come on.
Remember back in the day, and even on the Illinois side, it might have been in Edwardsville. Somebody could tell me if I'm wrong there. But there was an old A&W. And we used to go biking, and then we could stop there. My friend Lance from across the way, and we would bike in the middle of the day because nobody else had our schedules. And then we could go and get a root beer float at the old A&W.
A&W is so good.
There's not a lot around, though, still. There's one in St. Charles, but I've never been to it. So maybe I need to go
check it out. Yeah, you should try that. It's pretty good. It's also National Fresh Breath Day. And I feel good about that. I find the smart mouth really works. Fred, what's your go-to?
Listerine, I guess.
Listerine. Yeah. Ethan, what do the kids use?
I can't speak for my generation, but I will say, growing up, we were also a Listerine family.
Interesting. Joe?
The Crest mouthwash.
Oh, all right. Oh,
I like the bottle it comes
tastes
in.
Tastes a little bit better.
You like the bottle it comes in. I'll look
at it. I know,
that
it's
up.
Weird.
Yeah, that
it was
is
the
weird.
Blue one. I remember it was the blue one.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. And it's also National Wiggle Your Toes Today. So, yeah.
Are we all doing that right now?
Well, actually, yes.
I'm doing it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All right, today, and this is a sober anniversary, but I thought I should bring it up. It is the 80th anniversary of Hiroshima, the dropping of the first atomic bomb. The bomb, of course, nicknamed Little Boy, and then we bombed Nagasaki 3 days later, and Japan surrendered on August 15th, 1945. But this is the 80th anniversary of that. Of course, Truman was president then and okayed it. Woof! Then we will lighten it up, because 60 years ago today, in 1965, the Beatles released Help.
You're gonna lose that
yes,
girl.
Yes, you're gonna lose that girl.
You're gonna lose.
Yes, yes, you're gonna
that
girl. Lose that
girl. If you don't take her out tonight, she's gonna change
she's
her mind.
She's gonna change her mind.
Now, of course, the reasonable person would be expecting the song Help there, but I feel like I've heard it enough. So I went for this one instead. It was their fifth album, and it included things like Ticket to Ride, Help, and of course, Yesterday, which has been recorded so many times by so many artists. But 60 years old is the album Help. I remember, I think it wasn't that long ago, like within the last 5 years, I rented the movie Help. It's ridiculous, but the music is great. Your thoughts, Brett? Do you?
It's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of enjoyed it. Ethan, I don't know if it's worth putting it on the list.
No,
it's,
okay. That's what I was about
to ask. Yeah, that's fair. Okay. Joe, have you seen it?
I have. I was young. It was forgettable from what I remember.
Yeah, but the music's great. It's fun to see them at that age. Okay, now I have a clip for you. Now, Ethan and I know what this is. Fred and Joe do not. Tell me if you can see what movie this is. This movie came out 32 years ago in 1993. Tell me what this is.
I didn't kill my wife. I don't care.
Okay, so it's Harrison Ford?
That is correct. Can you tell the other person? Tommy Ooh. Lee Jones.
Ah, okay.
Can you name that movie? Joe Beamer, you got anything?
I would not know from that clip.
Would it be The Fugitive?
That is correct, Fred!
Nice. Good
nice.
Work, Fred.
Thank you.
We just watched that in a hotel room, watched the whole thing. It took eight hours because of so many commercials, but it was great! Harrison Ford is awesome. Tommy Lee Jones, love it. Okay, now, spoiler alert. Now, this should be on your list, Ethan. I'm not sure it is. 26 years ago today in 1999, this movie was released.
I want to tell you my secret now. I see dead people.
Fred,
this is so good.
It is so good. It's The Sixth Sense. Joe, you would agree. Ethan, have you seen it?
I can't believe I haven't. And I was talking about this movie to someone earlier, and they're like, oh my gosh, you definitely need to see it.
Joe, I cut you off. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
No, I remember seeing it as a kid in the theater.
And it was so... And we've, of course, just given away what happened, but it's 26 years old. So, you know, that's not a spoiler alert. No. But you do need to put that one on the list.
Is it horror movie or is it
no, because
more thriller
I saw
movie?
It's somewhere in between. It's not horror because I can't stand that. Fred and I, neither of us can handle that.
No.
But this is really good suspense.
Suspense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The car wreck scene always sticks with me.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes. Yeah. All right.
Now I'm intrigued.
Yeah. In exchange for giving the NFL a 10% stake in ESPN, Joe was talking about this briefly earlier. I was going to ask you guys what you thought. ESPN is reportedly getting NFL Network and rights to Red Zone Channel. It sounds like ESPN will also get NFL's fantasy football and combine it with ESPN's for just a monster. A monster.
It sounds like a good deal to on both sides, I think.
I think so. I will say that Red Zone is one of the most beloved things in sports.
Ooh.
So they better not screw it up. That is what I'll say. You better keep Scott Hansen on it, and you better keep no commercials. I don't care what else they do, but those have to be the two surefire guarantees of it.
Joe.
Well, Ethan, I mean, they have started sneaking commercials in already. So
yes,
you know,
but it cannot get worse than that. That's what you pay for. The point is to have 8 hours of commercial-free football.
I am happy to hear that the NFL will still own and produce. They've given ESPN the rights to distribute.
Yes.
So I think ESPN won't be able to make decisions for what we see on the screen. So I'm happy about that.
Did anybody think about this? I heard somebody talking about it today. I mean, the NFL is such a powerhouse right now. And if anybody says anything negative about it, they are pretty well shut down. And now that ESPN, which is really the only, now that they own a piece of that, is anybody going to give any real coverage to anything, if it's necessary, that's negative to NFL?
That's a great question.
You see what I mean? And I hadn't thought of it. It was Kevin Wheeler who thought of it.
I'm trying to think here. I can't think of anything. I mean, CBS lost the SEC a couple of years ago as far as just football in general. NBC, obviously, and ABC still have their couple of games, but I mean, it's definitely, it feels like it's moving more and more in the direction of you know, ESPN is a monopoly.
Yeah,
it's not entirely, but they definitely are king. So yeah, I agree.
Yep. Well, okay, Roku is getting into the no ads streaming game. Roku, I don't really. Okay. Their cost will be $2.99 a month, and most of the content will be from Warner Brothers, Discovery, and Lionsgate. So, okay, go for it. And
great.
Then Fox's streaming service will be called Fox One, and it's scheduled to begin on August 21st. Now, this one will stream all kinds of Fox content. I'm talking about news. I'm talking about sports. And in sports, that'd be the NFL and the MLB.
And the Big Ten.
And the Big Ten. And it's going to be $19.99 a month. Everybody's streaming. I find it really interesting to see what things will be in 15 years, whether you could just still have to cherry pick. It's just ridiculous. They've got to figure it out.
I wonder if eventually at some point some of these services like DirecTV or Charter will try and have a setup to where they...
Not own, but they package
yes, it all together.
I agree.
It's and rather than it being in a cable service, right, where you're switching from channel to channel,
just pick bundles of different streams. It's the only way.
Yes, that's the direction it's going to be moving in. Did you also see that Hulu I think next year is going to be fully like inside of the Disney Plus app. The app will no longer even exist.
Yep. Oh, that's so wait a minute. I can't get Hulu without getting Disney?
Correct.
Oh,
it's all going to be one app.
I don't care for that.
Yeah.
Credit card debt in the U.S. is now up to $1.2 trillion. Trillion. That is up $27 billion from last quarter. Now, the $1.2 trillion figure was actually hit last year, too, but it's back. And it's no surprise that the credit card delinquency rate is up as well. Credit card debt has been on the rise. It took a huge jump since, kind of during and since the pandemic, and it never really came back down.
We're learning from our government.
$1.2 trillion. It's outrageous.
Oof.
What were you going to say, Joe? I'm sorry.
No, I mean, that's just unbelievable that, you know, we just have so much mismanagement of personal finances.
Oh, it's horrible. It's just disturbing. And this is totally random. Before I do the random fact, Sharon Stone wants to star in a Phyllis Diller biopic. She says Phyllis even taught her how to laugh like her when she was still alive. So she really wants somebody to make that film. Will they? I don't know. Hard to say. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. Some Volkswagen cars in 1959 had coffee makers built into the dashboard. Google it. And you will freak out. It's like a whole little coffee thing and a little cheap right there in the dashboard.
So like a K-cup? Like a VW cup?
Well, I don't know. What's a VW cup?
Awesome.
You mean like a car. It's just a normal car with that in it. I'll show it to you, Fred. And that's it for Sue's News.
Thank you, Sue. When we come back, we'll be going to the White House with Jeff Murdoch here on 97.1 FM Talk. Hey, welcome back. Joe Beamer in from Mark Reardon, and we welcome on Jeff Murdoch, White House correspondent for the Washington Times. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you doing?
Hey, I have no complaints on this Wednesday. You are covering a lot at the White House because there's always a lot going on. Let's start with something that was just announced, the Apple adding to its investment in the United States. What are the bullet points of this?
Well, the bullet points are this is basically that we're going to get a $100 billion investment from Apple to make their products in the United States. And this is a big win for Trump in his tariff proposal, because what it shows is that companies are looking at the tariffs, they're looking at what the extra cost to do business is going to be, and they're deciding to build it here in the United States. In the fact that you've got these companies not only willing to make these decisions, but come to the White House. I mean, Tim Cook does not strike me as a guy who deeply supported President Trump in 2024, but here he is at the White House talking about this strategy and standing alongside President Trump and talking about what this means for Apple and what this means for the United States. That in and of itself, to get CEOs who would normally eschew him and certainly wouldn't have been there during the first administration to come in and talk to him, really just shows how much the view of Trump has changed over the last 8 years.
And you know, to that point, I mean, we have seen, I think, you know, thanks to Tim Cook, we have seen a lot of people, like you said, that you never would have seen stand with Trump in his first term.
That's exactly right. You know, a great example, and I don't know if this is going to connect with your audience, but here in D.C., Muriel Bowser is a great example. She's the mayor of D.C. She's about as progressive and left-wing as you're going to get. And she has been to the White House for multiple events, even as she fights with President Trump about the potential federal takeover of D.C. She's still going to the White to talk about the commander's new stadium. She's going to the White House to talk about things in D.C. I mean, she worked with him to get workers, federal workers, back into their offices. So that it's really interesting to see some people you never would have thought. And, you know, she was mayor during his first term, and we never saw her anywhere near the White House. Now, every time we see her, she's at the White House for something.
You know, and to that point of federalizing in D.C., I want to play clip 15 and then ask you about this. This is President Trump.
Somebody from DOGE was very badly hurt last night. You saw that. A young man who was beat up by a bunch of thugs in D.C. And either they're going to straighten their act out in the terms of government and in terms of protection, we're going to have to federalize and run it the way it's supposed to be run.
So, Jeff, what do we know about that shooting, and how do you think how do you see this playing out?
Well, so here's what we know about the shooting. It was the DOGE employee. The DOGE employee got it's a famous DOGE employee because his nickname on the internet was Big Balls, and
right.
Everybody kind of got a chuckle out of that. So, you know, and then he did interviews as Big Balls. So it's somebody people know. It's not an anonymous DOGE employee. You say Big Balls, most people know who it is. On top of that, so what happened is Sunday night, him and his girlfriend, it was about 4 a.m., they were leaving a party. They were going to get in. They were getting into their car to leave. A group of teens came up to them, made a comment about taking the car. Guy wasn't entirely sure whether they were joking or not, didn't want to find out. Pushed his girlfriend into the car. She kept safe, and the thugs sat there and beat him up. And I don't know if you've seen the footage of him without a shirt, just bloodied and beaten. I mean, it's a hard photo to watch. So that's what we know. They're teenagers. The MPD is currently on the lookout for suspects. It's not clear how much detail MPD has to go on. So that brings Trump back to something that he keeps bringing up, and he's brought this up multiple times, which is federalizing Washington, D.C., which would be almost a federal takeover of the city. That would give Congress control of the purse strings of Washington. He would be able to mobilize federal troops to try and keep the city safe. There's a lot he can do. Trump throws a lot of ideas out there. It's unclear how serious he is. He keeps throwing this out there, and he's even gone so far as to say, well, we're testing it out. But nobody seems to understand what he means when he says we're testing it out. Are they running drills somewhere? Are they talking about this? Are they game planning it? So it's really unclear. But the more this stuff happens, the more likely I think we're going to see some action from President Trump, because he's not letting this go.
No, that is for sure. And then, Jeff, obviously, the big story of the week are the Texas Democrats fleeing Illinois. You know, the president talking about them getting back to Texas. How is the White House handling the discussion on gerrymandering and the discussion on the Texas Democrats?
Honestly, they're largely staying out of it. They're leaving, you know, this up to the Justice Department to decide what they want to do. They're leaving it up to, you know, the senators. But what we could see as we go to the end of this week, the beginning of next week, is more federal involvement and more of a heavy-handed approach from the White House. For now, they've kind of stepped back with a wait and see. But you heard Trump this week talk about that sooner or later the FBI is going to have to get involved and track them down. And sooner or later, we're going to have to start seeing a more aggressive effort to bring them back to Texas. So I think we could start to see that ramp up. But right now, the White House is kind of pulling back from this a little bit.
That's this is, I'm telling you, I can't go a day without this coming up in the headlines. Jeff, we also heard right before I jumped on the air here that there's a chance President Trump could meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in the next week.
It's an interesting, yes. I've seen those reports. As a colleague of mine is in the process of, has, I think, just confirmed that. Anyways, but what's interesting is it shows that the President Trump's not willing to give up on Ukraine, but it also shows his posture from Putin keeps changing. He came into the White House. He was very complimentary towards Putin, very much trying to strike a deal. That didn't seem to work. Took an antagonistic approach to Vladimir Putin, you know, highly critical of him on social media, highly critical of him in the press, ramping up sanctions on Russia, and not just Russia, but India, you know, countries that are buying Russian oil, which is helping fund that war, really taking an aggressive stance towards them. Now he seems like that he's used all of his tools trying to go back to what he initially started with, which is a more friendlier posture about sitting down and talking. Now, it's a change from the Biden administration, because one of the problems of the Biden administration is they demonize Putin, but they never ever talked to him, and they never had any conversations with him once he invaded Ukraine. And I don't know how you reach the end of a war without talking about the guy, without talking to the guy who's waging it. This seemed like an unusual strategy. So the fact that we've you know, if these talks do go through, it seems like that would be a way to start moving forward to something. And as I understand it, one of the conversations is going to be with Putin, but also a second sit down with Putin and Zelensky, which would be stunning if Trump could do that. And also what this aggressive approach shows is how much Trump wants to win a Nobel Prize for peace.
For sure, for sure. And we'll all eyes will be on that. You know, Jeff, Senator Chuck Schumer was north of me yesterday talking about how the tariffs on Canada are to blame for the decrease in tourism in Niagara Falls, New York. I would say that Chuck Schumer should just walk around Niagara Falls, New York and see all the buildings that are about to collapse. And maybe that has something to do with it. But the tariffs, you know, you talk to the Democrats, Trump can't win on the tariffs. Where do we stand on tariffs, and what's the next date approaching that we should be looking for?
Well, the next date approaching is August 8th, which is the deadline that he moved back from August 8th to try and strike more trade deals. What's interesting with that, though, is we had a flurry of trade activity ahead of the August 1st deadline, which was the initial deadline. We had South Korea, Japan, EU. We had a bunch last week ahead of the August 1st. Now, as we approach the August 8th deadline, we have not seen a lot of activity in terms of trade deals. We've seen talks, we've seen negotiations, but it doesn't seem like this administration is prepared to announce much. And when that happens, I guess we're going to see him impose a tremendous amount of tariffs. All the tariffs you saw last week, he revised a lot of tariffs. Some of them went up, some of them went down. Some of them are as high as 50%. I think Brazil's 50% is an example. Some are as low as 15. They're all going to be in place. And it'll be interesting to see, because we're now on Wednesday. We've got till Friday if we see any countries come forward or any kind of trade deal struck.
And Jeff, yesterday, one of my favorite images, and you know, a lot of things can be made into a meme. And yesterday we saw the president on the roof of the White House. What exactly was going on?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite things, because you're in the press room and they clear a lockdown. And usually a lockdown, you think that something very serious has happened, but no, which is President Trump's on the roof. Yeah, President Trump, he was on the roof. He was inspecting a ballroom. This is one of my favorite stories since I've been at the White House. He's just walking. We go out there, and he's just walking around on the roof. He wants to put a ballroom on the east wing of the White House. It's going to be about $200 million cost. He says he's paying for it alongside private donors. They have not made who the donors are going to be public yet, if they ever will. But yes, it's a perfect opportunity for meme, just all these photos of Trump just on a roof walking around. It's not... But, you know, I think it goes back to his background in construction. I mean, one of the things I noticed with President Trump is I've seen so many politicians put on the hard hat and then just look awkward and weird. Whereas because of his background in construction, because he's worn a hard hat so many times, it seems a little more natural when Trump puts on a hard hat and goes to a construction site and kind of walks around. And you kind of saw that yesterday when he was kind of walking around on the roof, looking out and figuring out what to look for as he plans to build this ballroom. It's kind of surprising the White House has never had a ballroom.
Yeah, that is surprising. Well, Jeff, we'll keep our eyes on that. Always great catching up with you, my friend.
Great. Always enjoy coming on here, Joe. Thank you.
That is Jeff Mordack, White House correspondent for The Washington Times. We'll be back after this on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back. Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here at 97.1 FM Talk. And great to be with you on this hump day. In the final hour, we'll be joined by Sam Wang. He is a member of the Princeton Gerrymandering Project and also joined by Austin Karp, the managing editor of newsletters for the Sports Business Journal, talking about that ESPN NFL deal. And did you notice ESPN announced another deal like right after the NFL deal was announced? ESPN announced that they're getting the WWE premium events. So ESPN kind of building up their brand with all these contracts. And I'm interested in what Austin thinks because the ESPN NFL deal, so from what I understand, the Red Zone channel will still be operated by the NFL, but it gives ESPN the rights to use the NFL concept for things like college football. Now, ESPN did this back in the day. They called it the ESPN goal line. And the reason I think it failed is that's when CBS had the spotlight SEC game. So they couldn't dip into the SEC game on CBS. Well, now ESPN has the SEC. The problem is ESPN has no Big Ten. The Big Ten is on NBC, Fox, and CBS. So can you have that kind of concept without being able to dip into, and I'm saying this as an ACC fan, being able to dip into the second, probably the second biggest, most popular conference behind the SEC. So that'll be interesting. How that plays out. And again, looking forward to talking with Austin Karp, the managing editor of newsletters for the Sports Business Journal in the next hour. Lots that we've been talking about so far today. And I want to kind of circle back to something we talked about with John Hancock in the first hour. And that is Elizabeth Warren and Zohran Mamdani. Again, not surprising that Elizabeth Warren thinks that Mamdani is the future of the Democrat Party. But before we get out of here, we just got a few minutes. I want to play clip 14. This is Trump addressing Warren and Mamdani.
I watched this lunatic, Pocahontas. She's a total lunatic. I don't know what she's on. She's all jumping up and down like I've never seen anything like it, talking about supporting the communist mayor. And he's not a socialist. He's a communist, okay? This is not a socialist, man. This is a communist. If you look at any of his policies and go back 6 months, you don't have to go back further than that. So they want to put a communist in New York. Now, the good news is we have a lot of power over that because we're the ones with the money. We send the money. We don't send the money.
So that's Trump talking about Mamdani. And then you have Mamdani. Now, this is a guy who for years, and it's not like, oh, yeah, we went back to your social media 10 years ago. This is like 6 months ago. The guy's talking about defunding the police. He's all on how we have to defund the police. Now he's trying to change his tone. This is clip 8.
I am looking forward to working with the rank and file of our police department, with union leadership that represents those same police officers. And I've been clear throughout the entirety of the campaign that I am not running to defund the police.
Again, I mean, everyone's allowed to change their mind. Everyone's allowed to have an awakening moment. But is that what's happening here, or is he in the middle of a campaign? Again, I would say just study what this guy has been saying leading up to this point. And, you know, people will, I mean, it's interesting. People will, you know, text me or call me here in Buffalo and say, Joe, why are we talking about the New York City mayoral race? Again, New York City is low point as it is right now, is still the biggest city in the country and wields a lot of political power. And again, I mean, if this guy can win in New York City, does that start a wave? I would say not. I would agree with what John said. He's going to be a one term. But yeah, I mean, it is still, in my opinion, pretty important what happens in New York City. It's a local election, but it's also a nationwide something that, you know, sets the tone for politics in America. again, not totally, but for the Democrat Party, I mean, it is a Democratic hub, and it's kind of scary that this guy very, very well could be the mayor of the biggest city in America. When we come back, we'll be talking with Sam Wang from Princeton Gerrymandering Project. It's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.